بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. من ذا الذي يقرض الله قرضا حسنا فيضاعفه له وله أجر كريم. يوم ترى المؤمنين والمؤمنات يسعى نورهم بين أيديهم وبأيمانهم بشراكم اليوم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها ذلك هو الفوز العظيم. صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله. It's quite nice that we've got some rain. And Allahumma sayyiban nafi'a, may it be beneficial rain as well for us. But we notice something when the rain comes after some time, that has a difference from the hose pipe water that we put normally. That rain comes with a different blessing. And suddenly everything becomes alive, the birds start chirping and the grass becomes green and everything is so lovely, etc. So think about that and keep that in mind. Hopefully we'll have the time to come to that point a little later, inshallah. But the rain and the effect of the rain and what it has done. But anyway, let's get back to, I've chosen a ruku from Surah Al-Hadid, I've chosen it in other places as well, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, we can go through it. But when I give a talk, normally I try to figure out what is the state of the ummah, us, the state of us, when we're living, the situation we're going through, and when, not being negative, but when we look at a situation and we find that there's, to use a harsh word, when there's rot, and there's a lot of rot all over the shore, and you have the task of maybe trying to clean it up and make it better and start getting things right, where do you start? Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came, it was referred to as the time of Ayyamul Jahiliya, before his time. There was rot. There was rot of shirk. There was rot of kufr. There was rot of many practices that were really, evil. Contrary to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had desired for mankind in its clean form. But where did he start? He started at a point, his whole Makkan life, the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Makkah, started off in basically talking about three basic things, but the most important was the tawheed and the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the understanding that we are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So maybe as an ummah, we have to go back to our basics. Maybe we have to go back there and start there and start sorting that part of our lives out as individuals. That is our iman correct? Is our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our tawheed correct? And from there we have to start working. So get that foundation correct. Because otherwise we'll be constantly trying to fix up the 10th floor when the foundation is so weak that it's going to start crumbling. And then we find the 10th floor is made very nice, but the second floor and the third floor and the foundation is so weak that the 10th floor doesn't make a difference. It's just going to keep crumbling. So we have to get back to our basics. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we've learned that three basic topics, and I've mentioned this again and again and again, three basic topics, three fundamentals in Islam is Tawheed, Risala and Qiyamah. Put it in simple words. Tawheed, Risala and Akhirah, Qiyamah. These are the three basic fundamentals every Nabi from Adam alayhi salatu wasalam right up to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam taught as a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The difference may have been you make wudu this way, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam taught us. Make salah this way, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam taught us. Musa alayhi salam may have taught his ummatis to pray maybe slightly different from ours. Maybe the requirements for tahara were slightly different from ours. What is halal in eating and haram in eating, etc., was slightly different from ours. But the three basic fundamentals of every prophet was tawheed, risala and qiyamah. And we got to get those basics in our mind understood properly. In our hearts, if the conviction has to come in. Anyway, I've chosen a ruku from Surah Al-Hadid. I'm sure the time will be short, because we'll have to stop between 22 and quarter to. So, but whatever we can go through, we'll go through all this ruku. I have this manner of where this kalam, this word is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And being the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we sitting here, I'm standing here, our iman demands from us that whatever the word mentioned in here is haq, is true, and I accept it, whether I understand it or not. whether I understand it or not, whether I have comprehended it or not, it is haqq. That's my iman. That is why I say I'm a Muslim. I'm a mu'min. One of my beliefs is the Quran is a word of Allah. Then we got to understand the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we can't comprehend. His greatness is so great that we can't really comprehend it. So then we come back and we say, okay, if Allah's greatness is so great, how do I please this great creator? And then we come to the understanding that he sent a messenger, just follow him, copy him, and in that way we can put a little CV before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hopefully on the day of Qiyamah, and out of his mercy, look at the CV, Allah, I try to copy your beloved. I try to copy your beloved, I can't understand, I couldn't understand your greatness because I am limited. You are unlimited. We are limited from our beginning, but our ending continues as unlimited, because akhirah is unlimited. So inshallah we'll all be in Jannah out of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but that's an unlimited direction, infinity. But the beginning of our man is limited. There is a beginning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no beginning and ending. So he is unlimited. So we can't comprehend you totally. But what we did was, in our iman and our conviction was such that we believed in your word, we believed in your Nabi, so we tried to copy your Nabi and follow him, and that is the CV we're placing before you. Out of your mercy, accept and grant us Jannah. That should be, because the day of Qiyamah is going to take place. It's not just what we say. We got to understand that it's a reality. It's a reality more than the reality of my existence here today. That reality is a statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the day of Qiyamah is going to take place. So I keep saying that Allah has blessed us with various things. A mind, a heart to perceive, a mind to understand. But we don't use these things. He's given us an imagination. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the quality of imagination as a creation? He created us. He placed in us imagination. And then why did he place this in us and then expect us not to use it? We've got to use it in the correct way. But he's given it to us. And I say, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks in the Quran on these three topics, Tawheed, Risala and Qiyamah, it so happened that the last time when I spoke here, I spoke on something on Qiyamah as well, on the Akhirah as well. Today this will also be a similar thing. It happens to be on the day of Qiyamah. But in this ruku here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about an episode that is going to take place, or a time that is going to take place. And remember, the day of Qiyamah is not necessarily a few hours. I think it is an existence on its own. Like how life on earth is an existence on its own, the day of Qiyamah, which we refer to as one day, but it's an existence on its own, because it is a long period. It is not just a short period, so it's an existence on its own. And on that, during that existence, there will be certain things happening. One of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks it of in this ruku'ah, where he talks of specifically those that are munafiqeen, those that are hypocrites. And then we got to understand what is hypocrite. But anyway, let's start with the translation. So I say, use your imagination. Picture this in your mind. That this is happening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying it. So picture it. Okay, this is going to happen. There are people that will be walking, and how he's saying it and understand it. And get that into your heart and let that increase and strengthen your iman in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We got to start there in getting ourselves correct. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا فَيُضَعِفَهُ لَهُ وَلَهُ أَجْرٌ كَرِيمٌ. The first point he comes out with is, it's a rhetorical question, who's going to give a loan to Allah? Who's going to give a loan to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that that loan will be such that the recompense and the payment of the loan will be much better than the loan itself. In Allah's wisdom, in Allah's way, because we need to understand and start recognizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sometimes wants a trade-off from us. I want a trade-off. Give me this and I'll give you that. He doesn't need to, but that's a trade-off He places before us. So give me a loan. The loan I'm asking you is your life in obedience to me. Give me that loan. That the trade-off is, I give you Jannah. I give you the reward of Jannah. I give you peace on this earth. I will give you izzat and respect on this earth. I'll give you control on this earth here. But give me the trade-off. And we, in our weakness, in our ways that we behave, myself included obviously, we tend to forget that this trade-off that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking of us is such a simple thing that He wants from us. But the attractions and the things that draw us away and take us away are such that we move away from the remembrance or the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we turn to Him and say, hey, that happens now, what do I do? Allah's mercy is such, He says, don't worry, I'll forgive you if you sincerely come to me for forgiveness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala questions, who's that person? And the reward will be walahu ajran kareem, a noble and never ending, a beautiful reward. You just make that trade off with me. The most important part of it is you've got to have the iman. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. And that day, the day of Qiyamah, wherever it's going to take place, however it's going to take place, but he's now drawing a picture for you and he wants you to imagine it. يَوْمَ تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. On that day you will see believing men and women, mu'mineen, right? يَسْعَى نُورُهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ. They'll be moving because it's now a journey that you have to take of the day of Qiyamah, wherever we have to head to. There's a place we will have to reach before the entry into Jannah. Or for the kuffar and those that are going to be punished, may Allah protect us and keep us away from that, those that will be entering Jahannam. That is going to take place. So there is a journey that will be taking place. And the journey and the place, there will be darkness. And Allah says that believing man and the believing woman will have nur, light, maybe a torch, you know. You're going on a camping trip, you'll see it when you walk in the forest, you need that torch, maybe you place it on your head. I have no idea how that nur is going to be, but you will have the light in front of you and on your right, so that you can see your path and you can go where you're supposed to be going. That is going to take place. So we will all have to traverse that situation. يَوْمَ تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَسْعَى نُورُهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ بُشْرَاكُمُ الْيَوْمَ. And an announcement or a sound or a voice will be heard, glad tidings to y'all, the mu'mineen, inshallah we'll be in that group. Out of the mercy of Allah, we don't deserve it, but out of the mercy of Allah, He'll put us in there, inshallah we'll be amongst that group. بُشْرَاكُمُ الْيَوْمَ, glad tidings to you today. Good news for you today. بُشْرَاكُمُ الْيَوْمَ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِيَ الْأَنْهَارِ. And the glad tidings of gardens beneath which rivers flow. And I keep thinking about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in various places talks about gardens beneath which rivers flow. And in another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Jannah is such a place no eye has seen, no ear has heard of, no mind has imagined, no heart has understood. Such a beautiful place. And we have such imaginations. And yet Jannah is such which is above all that. And he depicts Jannah, one of the ways is Jannah, beneath which gardens, beneath which rivers flow. And I think, okay, garden beneath which rivers flow, or rivers, garden. I wonder how beautiful that must be. Because Allah is saying it is so beautiful. Can you you can't even imagine, but can you imagine how beautiful it could be? That it's so beautiful that Allah uses those words to depict it. Garden beneath which rivers flow. بُشْرَاكُمُ الْيَوْمِ, glad tidings for you today. تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِيَ الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. And the best part of it is eternity in there. You will be there forever and ever. There's no coming out of that place now. So that's where our aim and objective is. Our aim is to please Allah. Our objective is to get to Jannah. Whichever way you want to look at it. Our aim and objective is to please Allah and get to Jannah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that ability and create that desire in our heart to do this. And mind you, in our lives, we tend to be leading. We sometimes think we are too pious. And we sometimes think we're too sinner, too great a sinner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for Allah, a great sin, a big sin, a small sin, doesn't make a difference. The sins in their bigness and the smallness that we talk of is for the effect that it has in this world and the punishment that Allah has laid against it. But to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself in his greatness, whether you commit a murder or whether you stole 5 rand, it doesn't affect him, it doesn't make a difference to him. The point is, you have contradicted the law of Allah. He says, don't do this, you did it. Whether it was a small 5 rand theft or a murder of 1 million people. The thing is, you went against the command of Allah, so don't ever consider the theft of the 5 rand to be too little an act, too small an act, and don't worry about it so much, and don't consider that 1 million people that you may have killed be too serious an act that Allah will not forgive or Allah will not punish, whichever way. Don't ever consider that. In reality, it is going against what Allah has said. That is the sin. That is the problem. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بُشْرَاكُمْ الْيَوْمِ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِيَ الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. That is the most beautiful reward you can get. Right? Most beautiful success you can get. The greatest success ever. يَوْمَ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا انظُرُونَا نَقْتَبِسْ مِنْ نُورِكُمْ. Now when the people are moving on that day, there'll be crowds and crowds moving. Those will have light and that light will be for them alone. And they'll be able to see their path that they're going to and where they're going on the day of Qiyamah. There'll be munafiqeen, men and women. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is specifically talking about the munafiqeen. Not only the kuffar, but specifically those that are munafiqeen. Hypocrites. There'll be munafiqeen who will come to these people and say, lend us some of your light. Let us borrow some of your light so we can see and we can walk. We can also walk, because they'll be in darkness going in circles and not knowing where they're going. Round and round looking for whatever it is, you know. Trying to find their way. And the answer given to them, no. You go back to the beginning and go get your light and come. Meaning, can you go back to the world where you lived in and practice and believe correctly? The time is now. May Allah give us that ability and the tawfiq to understand that the time is now. The time is now for us to fulfill our duties. And the day of Qiyamah, there is no going back. So they'll be told. ذلك يوم يقول المنافقون والمنافقات الذين آمنوا انظرونا. To the people who have iman. You know what? Wait a little, man. Help us a little. نقتبس من نوركم. Can we borrow some of your light so we can move? قيل ارجعوا وراكم. Go back to the beginning. Go back to where you came from. فالتمسوا نورا. Go look for your light. Go find your light. فضرب بينهم بسور له باب. And then a wall or a partition will be made between mu'mineen and munafiqeen. And in it will be doors, or maybe an opening or a door. So there'll be a partition. Maybe from this side you can look at the munafiqeen. Maybe from that side they could look to the mu'mineen. But there will be a form of punishment, partition between the mu'mineen and the munafiqeen on the day of Qiyamah, and the journey will be going on. You have to reach wherever you have to reach. And that separation is there. قيل ارجعوا وراكم فالتمسوا نورا فضرب بينهم بسور له باب باطنه في الرحمة وظاهره من قبله العذاب. That partition, the within part of it, the inside part of it, will be with the kindness and the mercy of Allah, will be easiness. The mu'mineen will be with ease. Inshallah, we'll be in that group. Inshallah. The munafiqeen, on that side, there will be punishment and severity and difficulty. And you could see it. It just reminds me of Palestine. I keep thinking about it. Well, it's the other way about there, where they built a partition, and within it the people are suffering, and just outside it those that think that they are on goodness, etc., have got mansions and they're living there beautifully with ease, etc., the Yahud that are living there, and within it are the Palestinians that are under suffering. Now, imagine this multiplied millionfold on the day of Qiyamah, where there'll be punishment the other way about on the outside, and those within will be with ease and with goodness. فَالْتَمِسُ نُورُ رَحْمَةً وَظَاهِرُوا مِنْ قِبْلِهِ الْعَذَابِ يُنَادُونَهُمْ أَلَمْ نَكُمْ مَعَكُمْ. Now the munafiqeen, who, and there's a point here, you know, hypocrisy. Sometimes we may not even realize that we possess qualities of hypocrisy within us. Or we may have hypocrisy within us. I mean, I take this from the fact that Hanzala radiallahu anhu and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu felt that they have committed hypocrisy and went to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And yet they had the highest stage of iman. They were Sahaba radiallahu anhum, companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they went to question, you know, we've become hypocrites. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered them, no, whatever. He answered them and showed them that it was not true. But it means that we've got to constantly question ourselves, is my iman pure? Am I on my iman with correctness? Am I sincerely a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And that constant thought in the heart and in the mind is the means by which we can increase and improve our iman and strengthen our iman. So yunadunahum, so these people are walking. The believers who Allah has chosen and is happy with have the light and the noor that they're walking with. And on the other side, there's punishment and there's difficulty, and those people are in total darkness and not knowing and going in circles. And they will call out to these people, "Where we not with you? They were in our company. They were talking to us. They had dealings with us. They worked with us. They did things with us. Were we not with you all? Alam nakum ma'akum. Yunadunahum alam nakum ma'akum. Qalu balaha." Answers will come from the side. Yeah, we know you were with us. You were with us in this world. We were with each other. So we had dealings. We had meetings. We were in groups with people that were munafiqeen, that never truly believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You were with us. Yeah, no problem. Qalu balaha. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ فَتَنْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. But your desires and your own souls led you into this test and trap and difficulty. You were tested by your own desires and your own want to do wrong. You yourself placed yourself into this position by your life on this earth here, wanting to go into wrong because you were not true and sincere in your heart. So yes, you were in our groups. You were within us. You walked with us. You talked with us. You were friends with us. You cycled with us. You were on camping trips with us. You did business with us. But you were not true in your belief, and none of us know it. Only Allah knows it. So each one has to keep testing himself against whether he is truly with that iman. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ فَتَنْتُمْ أَنفَسَكُمْ وَتَرَبَّصْتُمْ وَارْتَبْتُمْ وَغَرَّتْكُمُ الْأَمَانِيُّ. And while you were in this world, you wished for our downfall. You wished for our destruction. And I see this a lot of times. And I sometimes get worried when I see it against people of iman, people of deen, people, how we can call them, mulanas, shuyukh. When you see the alim making a mistake, and I see the joy within, in the hearts or in the minds, or sometimes the statements of people, I check in that mulana, see how he flopped up. And then I wonder, and I say, Ya Allah, is that a sign of nifaq in a person where he is seeing the difficulty in another mu'min and he's taking joy out of it? So we gotta be very careful in our thinking and our ways. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ فَتَنْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. So your own selves put you into this test. وَتَرَبَّصْتُمْ, and you wished and hoped for our destruction. وَارْتَبْتُمْ, and you did not truly have yaqeen and conviction in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the day of Qiyamah is going to come. You didn't truly have that. وَغَرَّتْكُمُ الْأَمَانِي, and the deception of this world deceived you. Shaitan and your nafs deceived you to such an extent. حَتَّى جَاءَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ, until command of Allah came of death, and the command of Allah came of this day, and now we can see the separation and the sifting out that has taken place. So yes, you were with us, we were there, but today Allah knows the inner hearts and He separated us. So you got to answer for your questions to Allah, and we'll have to be with our questions with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَغَرَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغُرُورِ, and the deception of the great deceiver deceived you. Whether it was shaitan, whether it was your nafs, whether it was your attitude, whether it was what you were deceived, a grave deception in this world. When you forgot Allah and you forgot your servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's 12:42. I'll take maybe another minute or two. I'm given between 12:40 and 12:45. فَالْيَوْمَ لَا يُؤْخَذُ مِنْكُمْ فِدَّةٌ وَلَا مِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مَأْوَاكُمُ النَّارِ. Today, no ransom you can pay. Your money is not going to count. No deeds you can come forward and say, you know what, I give it a ransom, put me into that group. Nothing will work. No contacts, nothing. Today, it is with Allah that the whole decision and discussion is taking place. Picture this. Picture this whole picture that is going to take place. فَالْيَوْمْ لَا يُخَذُ مِنْكُمْ فِدْيَةٌ. No ransom will be taken from you. وَلَا مِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Neither from the munafiqeen, nor from those who disbelieve, the kuffar. No ransom. مَأْوَاكُمُ النَّارِ. Your destination is the fire. May Allah protect us from it. May sincerely, may Allah protect us from it. Because sometimes I think eternity and fire with eternity in punishment. I mean, think of eternity and then punishment of eternity. That is something we can't cope. We can't cope for moments. Forget eternity. So may Allah, out of His mercy, always grant us and say, forgive and don't worry, Jannah. Forgive and don't worry, Jannah. InshaAllah. مَأْوَاكُمْ النَّارِ. هِيَ مَوْلَاكُمْ. That fire is your friend today. هِيَ مَوْلَاكُمْ. That is your friend. وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ. What a terrible place to go into. أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And now the answer is coming to us. Is not the time come for the mu'minin? Has not the time for the believer come? أَنْ تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. That his heart becomes softened and concerned with the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he may be going wrong and humbling himself before Allah to say, Ya Allah, you know what, this day is going to come. And is the time not come for the mu'minin to change? That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking you, to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَن تَخْشَى قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. And that which Allah has revealed in truth. وَلَا يَكُونُ كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَطَالَ. And then it goes on. We don't have the time to go on into this ruku. But the one point where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks of, that when the rain comes, it changes the situation. So when the rain of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, it changes the situation. So we've got to work towards wanting to get that mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He's giving us hope. No matter how big a sinner we are, no matter how many sins we may have committed, don't ever lose that hope. Because overnight, when the rain of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, the dryness and the desert is changed. The desert and the dryness and the barrenness of the heart is changed, and it becomes one which is a full in bloom with the love and the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we see it in the rain when it comes down, and suddenly the flowers come out, and suddenly the grass becomes green. Jazakallah khair.